Hello and welcome to episode 5 of this, the Cultism Podcast, with me, Harry Medium, and...
me, Ian Todd. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, the tweets have kind of tailed off a little bit now.
Oh, we're still getting quite a lot of tweets, though, aren't we?
We're getting interaction, but not as many suggestions now. I think people suggested themselves out.
Right, yeah, well, we haven't actually watched or heard any of the suggestions yet. Although, saying that, I've been watching a little bit of Dark Place.
Oh, yes.
Rewatching that. It was a lost classic, I think.
What was that mental one that was on in, I think about episode 2, the one where people watched films and they were imprisoned on this planet that had to watch a film and do a commentary over it. What was that called again?
Oh, Mystery Theater.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine, Chris, who sent stuff in, Chris Allen, he was showing some CDs he had in this big CD wallet, and he opened it up and he had about 20 DVDs and he was lending them from someone, and it was Mystery Theater.
And he's wetting himself now because you've mentioned him.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, it's hashtag mentions and all that sort of thing. But yeah, what are the chances? And he didn't even know anything about the podcast mentioning it. So it's
so have you got them?
I haven't got it. It's his uncle's and he's watching them at the moment. So I'll be intrigued to see some. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good the bit I saw.
It's good to unearth some interesting stuff that you haven't heard of. You
know? Yeah, that's why I'm doing this.
Indeed, yeah.
I might not have time to watch them or listen to them or read them now, but it's all going in the think tank.
Well, that's the thing. It's not as if you can forget. You go, oh, well, Ian, just consult the podcast for what we've been talking about.
So, yeah.
And the first one is from, I'm just going to call him Philly S now, you know, Philly Cerner, you know, that's his new handle.
Philly, Dr. Philly.
The original Death Race 2000, hand on heart, I haven't seen it. But I like what I saw from the trailer.
I don't remember if I have seen it. It might be one I'm getting mixed up with the one on roller skate. No, it's gone. Speedball, no, it's gone. Sorry, Dr. Phil, can't recall it.
It's from 1975. It's a dystopian future. A cross-country automobile race requires contestants to run down innocent pedestrians to gain points. That are tallied based on each kill's brutality. And there was a remake in the noughties, I think, where Statham was in it.
I think he was.
Yeah. But the trailer, it had Stallone in as well, which made it more interesting.
Yeah.
But no, it looked fun. It looked a bit madcap and mental.
I think it is, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Is it the one with James Spader in it? No, not James Spader.
David Carradine and Simone Griffith as well are in it.
Might be David Carradine I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can remember the remake being widely regarded as rubbish, I think. Mm-hmm. But it did inspire a lot of computer games.
Well, that's always good, you know. The thing is with inspiring computer games, when you think about Star Wars Episode 1, that was almost just a computer game in itself with that pod race.
Well, I don't like to talk about those.
I bet you've been to see. Have you not had peer pressure to go and see the 3D version?
Nobody will peer pressure me into seeing any of those three abominations of cinema.
It looks cult, you know. It does definitely tick the box of cult.
It was pretty mental. I think in a similar way to Scanners and the Arnie Schwarzenegger vehicle, The Running Man.
But yeah, the next one is something I put forward because I genuinely think it's brilliant, and I'm sure lots of people like it as well. It's Being John Malkovich. Are you a fan?
I have seen it. I ingested it with my eyes, my ears, and my lips, and it left me a little bit cold.
Oh, right.
I wouldn't want to see it again, put it that way.
Right. It's just the concept of, like, someone finding a portal that leads into John Malkovich's mind. It's just, whoa, you know, and John Malkovich as well, it's an interesting person to choose.
He's a bit mental, though, isn't he?
He's a bit strange, yeah.
I saw him in an interview, I think it might have been on Jonathan Ross, and he just appeared to me to be like, you know, if a pod person was in that position and they had to be interviewed by Jonathan Ross, I think they'd be a little bit like that.
He looked like he was relishing the role as well, the kind of the bizarreness of it, you know. I think because obviously Charlie Kaufman's known for doing quite bizarre films, and obviously Spike Jonze is obviously known for his sort of slightly the kind of a good partnership of being a bit weird, aren't they?
Yeah. Have you seen talking to Spike Jonze? Have you seen Where the Wild Things Are?
No, I haven't. No, I heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's based on a fantastic book, but the film's really quite... It depressed me quite a lot.
Oh.
It's like a bit of a look at the end of childhood, really, and it's a bit depressing for adults and a bit deep for kids. But anyway, that's that.
I think the first time I ever encountered Spike Jonze was in the Fatboy Slim video.
Yeah,
jumping about, and you could tell instantly this guy's a bit strange.
He's a crazy dude.
He went out with Dingy, didn't he? That what you called Virgin Suicide. She did.
It's like I'm doing a podcast with Heat Magazine.
It's with Heat Magazine, but with someone who can't actually remember anything. So it's kind of like an old woman's version of Heat Magazine.
It's like an old woman's version of Heat Magazine. That's quite for the poster.
what's she called again? Oh man, I'm gonna have to think.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No.
Natalie Portman.
Nope.
Chicken Caesar.
Virgin Suicides, and it was done by... He had Kirsten Dunst. Sophia Coppola. Ah-ha-ha.
Oh, cool.
There you go. But yes, so that's got a bit of an inner reaction from you. The next one is Clue, and that was by a friend of mine, Chris. He put that forward. I haven't seen Clue, but I've heard about it just through him. Be honest with you, I didn't even know it was a film.
Well, is it based on a board game, Cluedo?
It is indeed, yes.
And does it have chappie out of Rocky Horror Picture in it, Tim Curry?
Yes, it has.
I've seen it.
Right.
I've seen it when I was quite a lot younger, and it's crazy, and it left an impression on me, but it was pretty crazy.
Well, apparently Cluedo was the name outside of North America. I didn't realise that was actually called Clue in America.
In America, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just drawn a robot.
Say again?
I've just drawn a robot.
Obviously, by just like, you know, you get inspired by talking about Clue.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's basically the nature of the board game. Apparently there's three different endings to it as well.
And what, depending on how you watch it, is depending on which ending you get?
No, different theatres would get a different ending.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is quite a cool thing.
On DVD, you get them all, I suppose.
Yes, you do, yeah, yeah.
What about when they show it on the telly? Because that's where I saw it. I think you get all three in there?
No, that would just be very confusing. It would just be a bit... They've probably just chosen the most widely accepted good one.
The one where the butler did it?
Probably, yeah, rather than the monkey. You know, because that wouldn't get...
In Clue. When have you ever seen a monkey in Clue?
I haven't seen... No, but this is like the special version that they did.
The special edition with the monkey.
Yeah, it was in 3D as well, obviously.
3D monkeys.
What about more of that multiple ending type thing would be quite good, wouldn't it? You know? There are some films that have got different endings and whatnot. But generally, just like if every film had kind of like a madcap ending, kind of boring ending, and then kind of really way out the ending, that'd be interesting.
Well, and you'd have to sit through all of... Well, it's Return of the King, isn't it? It's the third Lord of the Rings film that you're talking about.
Well, no, I just mean it's the whole DVD thing. You could actually... It's more tailored for that DVD market, I suppose, where when you go into cinema... You can't really do that sort of thing of kind of having three different ends, because that would just be a bit weird to kind of stop and go, and number two. And then people go, oh, all right, yeah, and vote for which one's the best, you know.
Well, have you not seen Return of the King?
There's a good tale. I watched the first two.
So you didn't see all the endings?
I didn't see all the final film. I got a copy of it, and it's actually like just messed up about half an hour to the end. So I've still to this day not seen the last half hour.
Well, about the last 45 minutes is the various endings. I think that someone, maybe Dr. Philly, maybe he can count up how many endings are at the end of Return of the King, because there's a lot of them.
It's interesting. I don't know why I've never quite got round watching the last half hour. You know?
No, because it was just boring.
Too long. It was boring and a bit too long. It was a bit, oh.
Yeah, the third film does drag out.
Yeah, you know, they are quite draggy, and obviously you've got the new ones coming soon as well, haven't you, with Martin Sill and all that.
Sill.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Just watched Survival the other day, as mentioned on Facebook, and that ending, the dubbed ending, it gets us every time, the same as you
me
said.
Too. Put the kettle on ice. Mm.
Oh, it's a sad thing. I mean, I still can't get away with the cat suits and all that. I don't know what's going on with the cat people.
Could have been worse. My only problem with it is Helen Pace. For those that don't know, we're talking about the last classic Doctor Who story, Survival, with Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred.
Yeah, I think that whole kind of stunt casting thing didn't really work a lot in the 80s, but it really didn't work with them too.
Weird, wasn't it? It was like, it was almost like I'd fallen into a psychological wasteland.
It was just so stunted, and it was just like, they were just like, oh yeah, what will the best thing for cats be? Let's tell a joke. And it was just like, it was bad. But I enjoyed the bike bit as well, you know, when they kind of had the big, woo, let's kind of drive each other. As in the big motorbike sequence, that's what I'm trying to hit now.
Yes, I remember that bit, yeah.
Obviously, Mission Impossible 2, try to do a version of that with their kind of motorbikes clashing together. Obviously, yep. Survival was better.
So. Yep. I hate Mission Impossible.
I quite enjoyed the second and third one, but I would never buy it on DVD or anything.
I didn't even see the third one. But anyway, let's get on to some good stuff.
Yes, with Neil Nye. I put With Neil Nye forward again, and another film to me, which is a lot of people, I remember when I was at university, said this is one of the best films ever, and I'd seen it at the local art cinema and enjoyed it, and then it just suddenly clicked on how brilliant it was, and how I can understand why people watch it and have games and stuff. Yeah, it's like an obsession. It's like the best film for a lot of people. So do you still see it as one of the best cult films? Or
I don't know if I ever did. Yeah, get on that.
Jeezy crazy. I'm shocked by this. Richard E. Grant, the wannabe Doctor Who. What?
Well, he was Doctor Who. Oh, no, he wasn't. Yeah. The other one was.
Richard E. Grant was briefly, wasn't he, in that Charter web series thing.
With Neil and I watched it when I was younger, probably also a student, and I always thought I enjoyed it, and then I got it on DVD a couple of years ago, and I tried to watch it, and I had to turn it off. I couldn't watch it.
Was it just a bit unfunny for you, or did you just find it a bit annoying? Or
I think it was unsettling my mood.
Right.
I found it a bit depressing.
It is a little bit depressing, especially the end. I think it's all quite sad. I think.
Oh Christ! I'm glad I didn't watch it then.
Because the ending obviously ends up like them. One of them going off and leaving with Neil, and it's all very kind of sad at the end of things and all. But just when they go to the Lake District and all, I just think it's brilliant. You know, it's just like obviously Richard Griffiths from Pie in the Sky fame.
Yeah,
it's just brilliant as Uncle Monty. It's actually a band that was in Newcastle for a bit called Uncle Monty as well.
And did they try and defile young boys?
No, I think they just tried to play some really boring indie tunes and they just ended up not being very successful. It would probably be more successful if they tried kind of at least being a bit more controversial like that.
Yeah, well, there's a lesson to be learned there, young boys.
But yeah, I can understand why it is one of like the Britain's probably like best cult films, but it's not for everyone. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's quite an arty thing and quite at times quite slow as well. Really, it's not really kind of fasty paced craziness. But I love Richard E. Grant and like I love he's
manic
sort of persona, yeah, and it's like the whole kind of oh, he didn't drink and all them sort of tales. They add to the mythos, you know. But someone there, I think more than one occasion, someone said on Untruth they should have a sequel to it, and I thought no, it wouldn't work.
No,
yeah, that would just piss on it completely, you know.
Yeah, but Charles Wee.
Yeah, indeed, yeah, Charles Wee. The next one, again, by the Cerner, you know, is Fantastic Planet.
What is that?
It's a French film. It's, it's actually, why don't you put Fantastic Planet in YouTube now and watch it? And I think you'd be very intrigued by it.
Okay, hold on. Who made it?
Some French lad. Directed by Ray Leloux.
It's a bit of Monty Python, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that looks crazy. Who suggested this? Dr. Phil?
Yeah, he did, yes.
Dr. Phil, you dirty man. Whoa. Oh no, they're fighting with worms. Crikey, this is very strange. Why? Oh no, there's a big finger pushing it. Oh, it's the futility of existence. Oh my goodness. Fine adventure story. Can I turn it off now? It's depressing me a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh god. All the crystals are shattering. They'll never get them out to the dome, will they?
It was very kind of pre-Python-esque, wasn't it, do you know what I mean? I suppose it's ahead of its time in a way, like pre-Terry Gillingham and whatnot, so...
Well, I don't know what to say about that one. It looked a bit weird. It looked like it might make me feel, if I watched it, as though I was losing my mind.
It was quite crazy. It kind of rang a bell when I heard Fantastic Planet, but I didn't realise it was a French animated from the 70s. I was like, oh, right.
No. It reminded me a little bit of Ludwig. Do you remember Ludwig?
Ludwig. No.
No, not at all. You should look it up.
Ludwig, right.
Ludwig, TV series. Yes. I think it was like late 70s, German or something. And it was about a little egg. A little fella on legs. He was an egg on legs. A leg egg. And it was about Ludwig. I think he might have even had a little helicopter come out of top of his egg. He was a little egg fella. He was brilliant. But it was so weird. I'm sure it's why I've turned out the way I have. That and Jamie and the Magic Torch.
Oh, yes, I used to like that, yeah. It had a good theme tune as well, you know.
Chong and the Wheelies.
One of the themes of the other podcast we did recently was That Must Have Been Drugs. And I think Fantastic Planet definitely. And your lovely lad as well, you know, the Eggman, you know, he sounds creepy. You know, it was a time, the 70s, you know, it seems.
Certainly was a time. I think we've established that here today.
And we're going into another 70s film, and it's... Zardoz, the Sean Connery film. I've never seen it. I've heard of it.
Does he gay off in that?
I don't know because I haven't seen it, but my notes on the trailer were, wow, that looks mental. Drugs. So, you know...
I think I might have seen it. Holy moly. Can you hear that?
Yes.
That's blooming YouTube again.
Are they trying to sell you anything this time?
Yeah. They are. I don't know what though.
It was his Sean Connery's second post James Bond role, and it's not really one that's kind of widely known. I don't think really.
That's why I think he had he had a man kiss or something in that, because I think he was trying to be very un-Bond at that time.
Right, right. Well, the tagline reads, when I read on Wikipedia, this is straight up, okay, the right. gun is good, the penis is evil, the penis shoots seeds and makes new life to poison the earth with the plague of men, as once it was, but the gun shoots death and purifies the earth of the filth of the brutals. Go forth and kill.
So, yeah, he could have done, couldn't he?
He could have, yeah. In the year AD 2293, a post-apocalyptic earth is inhabited mostly by the Brutals, who are ruled by the Eternals. Eternals mm-hmm. use other Brutals called Exterminators of the Chosen Warrior class. The Exterminators worship the god Zordo, a huge flying hollow stone head. So,
I have seen it. I'm sure I have, because I'm sure that Connery's got a codpiece or something on.
If you just put that into YouTube, Zordos, you know, I only saw like a minute trailer, and you can kind of get the vibe straight away what sort of weirdness it is.
Here we go. We're playing. I'm going to keep the sound off. Beyond 1984, beyond 2001, beyond love, beyond say. Whoa. Oh, it's a big head. Actually, this looks quite good. Oh, the gun is good, yeah. Let's see what you're saying there. They've all got weird heads on. Yeah, a ponytail. And what's he wearing? No, it's back to the statue. I'm pretty sure he's wearing some pants. He is. Maybe that's what I'm getting confused with the other stuff. Yeah, it looks pretty weird, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Sean Connery and a nappy. Well, yeah, who sent that in? Did you?
No, I think it was the Cerner again.
No.
Yeah, it was the Cerner. Yeah, it was the Cerner.
Cool, blimey, he's got too much time on his hands. I can never. I don't know. This is going towards the bottom of the list. It just looks far too weird. That's too weird for. Well, that's two out of two weird ones, Dr. Phil.
Well, he basically sent over some stuff last week, and he just said, have I sent too much over? I said, oh, no. And he just, like, sent, like, a paragraph and just loads of different ones. And the next one on the list was Logan's Run as well.
Yeah.
A 1976 film. And that's Jenny another Agatha. One which, indeed, the Railway Children one. I basically seen a lot of shit, and then I've kind of missed out on quite a lot of things, and I've missed out on this as well.
What?
I know, it's rubbish. I don't know. There's no excuse for it.
It's on every tea time.
And there was a TV show as well. I didn't know that.
Now I don't know if I really remember that, but I do remember the film and the blinking things in the hands and the things and that. It's good. It's good, Logan's Run. It's an interesting idea. In fact, for you here, on my 30th birthday, for the invites that I was going out for, I had Logan's Run. Yeah, Logan's Run on the invites. 30, you see.
Ah, nice. Mm. That's quite a controversial thing to have on. Yeah.
Well, you know, just in case I died.
The thing is, it depicts a dystopian future society in which the population, the consumption of resources are managed and maintained in equilibrium by the simple expediency of killing everyone who reaches the age of 30, preventing overpopulation.
You can see why I used it for my 30th birthday.
I can't now. Initially, I just thought that's just random, but it makes perfect sense now. The story follows the actions of Logan Five, a Sandman, as he runs from society's lethal demand. Sounds pretty good. I saw the trailer and I thought, yeah, that's worth a watch on ITV4 anytime.
Yeah, you should watch it.
I should do.
Interestingly, it's just been in. I've just been playing the Tom Baker Sci-Fi Quiz DVD.
Wow.
And didn't manage to beat it. Had two goes. Whew. Didn't manage it, but Logan's Run was featured in that. Tom isn't really on top form. He's fairly resigned, I think.
Where did you find that?
Amazon, £3.60.
Nice. Mm. What sort of era of Tom Baker were we talking about? Were we talking like 90s sort of time? Or
2006.
Oh, right. Bloody hell. Mm. Yeah. The next, well, we'll probably make this the final one time wise. It's called A Boy and His Dog, and that's from Philly as well, from the Cerner.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with it, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
I've put trailer is mad.
Yeah.
Mad music, and for some reason I've just put kinky, happy, etc.
Yeah, I think there is happy moments, but it is set in post-apocalyptia.
Yeah, it's a boy communicates telepathically through his dog as they scavenge for food and sex, and they stumble into underground society where the old society is preserved.
Fallout 3.
It was a bit bizarre, just just going by the trailer.
Just the concept.
Yeah, the concept. You know, you go into a film studio. You know, they've all got their cigars and stuff, and you say, "Hey, I've got an idea." A boy communicate. It's not Wolf, you know. Jeez.
It's not Wolf. No. it's an odd one. It's Don Johnson out of Miami Vice as well.
All right, right.
Is the boy, and I tell you why I've avoided it, because I get a bit funny about animals in films. And I would get more emotionally involved if it was a boy and his dog than if it was maybe a boy and his chum. And so, consequently, I have trouble watching Watership Down, the follow-up to Watership Down, The Plague Dogs. I've never been able to watch, even though I want to. And I think I've avoided this for similar reasons. Because at some point, either the boy is going to get hurt and the dog will be upset, or the dog will get hurt and the boy will be upset. I don't want to see either of those eventualities playing out.
That's frustrating.
It is, yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, there must be lots of things that you can't watch, especially a lot of TV shows where there's just any sort of
animal-based
stuff or cats and stuff.
Yeah. I tell you, I had to stop myself from watching Animal Hospital with Rolf Harris. I had to actually forbid myself from watching it anymore.
Well, you know, I think that's a good thing in some ways. You know.
No, because Rolf's brilliant. Animals are brilliant. Animal Hospital was brilliant. Rolf's Animal Hospital was brilliant.
Have you noticed a lot that people send a lot more films than they do TV shows?
Yeah. Talking of TV shows, though, I've rediscovered something that I used to watch in the mid-90s. Sunset Beach.
Oh, Channel 5. Nice.
Yes, boy. 97 to 99. I jumped in, I think, a couple of months in. I don't think I saw the very first. I may have seen them all. I know when I started watching it, I became addicted very quickly. It's like crack. And I did watch it right until the end, and I know what happens at the end. But they're all on YouTube in little chunks. So if anyone would like to join me, maybe we could get some sort of live tweet thing happening while we're all watching Sunset Beach. That'd be awesome.
I can't ever imagine anyone saying I'm up for that.
We'll see. But even if nobody turns up in that tweet room, I'll be there watching Sunset Beach. Waz Ox, my lady partner, she said it's like porn, but without the porn.
Well, Channel 5 had that in other areas around that time with David Duchovny and whatnot.
It's not in any way, shape or form suggestive. The costumes are relatively, you know, they don't leave loads on show. You know, it was a morning television programme. But I can see what she means. You know, that sort of standard of acting and music and production that you get in a particularly average porn film. If you take that and then take away the relations bit, you know, the judda-judda, then you get Sunset Beach. It's pretty much that bad. And it's so bad, it's great.
Wow, I never expected to be talking about Sunset Beach in my life. So
come on, you know it. You've watched it.
I watched it like when Channel 5 first started, just out of curiosity, you know. It's sort of thing like Melrose Place type palaver, you know. It's that sort of kind of like bad sort of American soap.
I think you should watch Sunset Beach. Everyone should watch Sunset Beach. I won't be ruining anything by telling you it's all a dream.
Ooh. Would it be better if we did a tweet-a-thon over Brookside? That would be good.
Can't get it.
You're not getting anywhere.
Huh. No, I don't think so. I don't think
it's by YouTube.
Brooks, oh, maybe, yeah. But only the lesbian kiss, being kissed. If you like the Cult, not the band, but Cult stuff, listen to Cultism. EastEnders isn't a cult. EastEnders isn't a cult.